The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. But I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Very grateful with Father Peter for the invitation to celebrate this weekend masses here at St. Joseph's. As I have no assignment this year after my heart problems last November around this time. And before I go to Colombia tomorrow, spend December with my family. So I say I better go now, because hopefully when I come back in July, probably I will have my parish again. Unfortunately, it will not be St. Catherine's, but I will have another parish. And I'm very grateful with him, because coming to St. Joseph is always a wonderful experience for me. I've never been assigned here before, but you have had pastors that have been very special to me, like Monsignor William. He was the one who welcomed me when I came from Colombia 26 years ago as a seminarian. No speaking any English, and he mixed Latin, French, and Spanish. So it was a wonderful experience down in Clinton. Then Monsignor Ingan, I worked with him for 7 years as a priest down in Southern Pines. I was vocational director of Father Michael Schutz and Father John de Guzman. So it's always a special connection here with the community at St. Joseph, and I'm very happy about it. It's always nice to see people that I knew as a teenager now having 2 or 3 kids. And it's nice. It's wonderful. See? The little altar boys now are also big. You see? It's very interesting, because when you always hear Father Bill John is coming, for those who never knew me before, perhaps you were expecting a 6-foot Texas priest, right? But I was not. But I'm happy anyway to be able to be here. And I'm happy to make Deacon... to make him so happy this morning, because they all finally a priest that I can look at the eyes. So anyway, it is a wonderful time, and it's a wonderful time for me, not only because I have the opportunity once again to be celebrating masses, you see, but also because I'm here at St. Joseph, and because we're starting a new holy season, which is Advent. And every time we start a season, every time we start a new liturgical year, we are reminded precisely that history and times belongs to God, and to God alone. And that his time is normally different from ours. The way in which, well, he has no time and space is God. But for us, it is wonderful that the church reminds us of that constantly every time that we go through a new liturgical year. Because in God's time, he is giving us another opportunity, another chance, another year to experience his love and mercy. And that we learn also to have mercy on ourselves. The whole Advent season is a wonderful celebration and invitation for us to look inside our hearts and our minds in order to once again or to clean or to purify our understanding about faith, hope, and charity. And it's important that we do so, because we are reminded once again of the scriptures we heard in the gospel today. Every time we are surprised by something, we are in God's mercy and in God's hands. Last year, when I was having this pain in my leg and in my chest, I said, well, it could be related with the heart. It could be my high blood pressure. So I decided I'm going to drive to Wake. And I did it. So the news, it was close to the rectory in Wake Forest. So as soon as I get in, I park. You see, this nurse take me out. And I was going just for a regular checkup. And I wake up a month later. Okay. And the only thing I remember from the nurses in Norway was, oh, we're going to transfer you to Waking Valley because you are at the age of having a cardiac arrest. So, okay, I'm in your hands. That's the thing I remember. Then I wake up a month later, so my cousin, and I thought to myself, how she made it so quickly from New York? I thought it was just last night that I went for a regular checkup. You know, she said to me, it has been already a month. See, a month. And then everything from then started changing. What do you mean, a month? See? With the little voice I had. See? A month. You know? You have been here a month, and we'll talk about these of your issues later. And it's very interesting and amazing. When the doctors and the nurses were telling you everything they did on you. See? And when the bishop told me how many people was praying around the diocese for you, it gets a little overwhelming of emotion, a happy emotion. Because I was still in this world. I went for a regular checkup. I have all this trauma in me. Wake up having no memories of pain or suffering or struggle. Only by listening to the explanations of the doctors and the nurses and my cousin and the bishop and Father Michael, the vicar general, who were there every day. Explaining to me everything that they have to do. That in 10 days I have these 3 cardiac arrests. That I have to be induced in coma for a month, that I was in the ECMO machine for almost 3 weeks, which normally they don't like it, that I have open stomach for also 3 weeks because I developed internal bleedings and they kept me open because of that. It was very interesting and amazing, everything they did. They also called the bishop twice and my cousin. My cousin is the only relative that I have here in the States. Everybody buzzed down in Colombia, you see. So she was making decisions, representing my family with the bishop. And when they were telling to me that they were called twice to unplug me from my genes, it was so amazing that bishop and my cousin and Father Michael saying, no, keep trying. See? We got our people praying. Keep trying. Keep working on him. And it worked. And it worked perfectly. See? And even though I'm still on medical leave now, since July I have been traveling around, covering for priests, with the whole expectation that I will be able once again to come back to full recovery, which I feel now. See? Even though the doctors say, no, you have to continue to take it easy. It's not your time. Remember, it's not your time. And this is what I learned also. And it's a wonderful beginning of this season, and I am reminded of that. It is not always our time. We have no control on that. How did I win just for a checkup and I ended up coming out with all these things? And I believed it because all the scars I have. And because when I wake up, I was still open. And so I touch every day with the little thing I had to learn how to walk, to learn how to speak, to learn how to eat. It was a very interesting. So I always patient with people where I was not patient with me, normally when I get sick. Awesome. And I have to learn how to do that. And the nurses told me how to do that. and how to improve. At the same time, they push me so hard. So I cannot be, could have been in better hands. See, doctors in Wake and then doctors in Duke. See, I couldn't be in better hands. The care of the nurses, some of the students in Duke, nursing students who were at the ICU, who were Catholics, they took shift consecutive 3 or 3 times. That's what my cousin told me. They were concerned about their priest. And it's wonderful to hear those things. Because you learn also as a priest that you not only always have to give to people and spend time with people and be patient with people and speak good things about people, but there is a time in which we also have to learn those things by experience. And in many cases, by those difficult experiences as well. It is God's time. Advent station is that. We live in a life of history in which we want to be in control of our time. But when we do so, in many occasions, we are so stressed because it looks like every year we have not enough hours during the day to do the many things we want to accomplish. And then we get so busy and distracted that then we start placing our securities and our hopes and our joy. And in many occasions, and things that actually doesn't make us hopeful or doesn't make us joyful or doesn't feel that we are succeeding. And that's why, you see, the purple color in Advent is related in many occasions to Lent. Because even though Advent is a time of preparation for joy, it also has and implies some type of purification as well. In Lent, we try to detach ourselves from the things that make us slave. So it's more drastic. But in Advent, we are asked by the church, and it's in Herwin, to make us think and reflect and purify what we understand by hope, by joy. And we have to be a people, a community of hope. This is a key important word nowadays. Hope that our lives are important. That God has the control of our lives. That yes, we need people who help us. See? Because if I was in Colombia perhaps, or even in another city, I probably would not be here. You see? So I'm glad I was in Wake Forest. I'm glad I was close to Wake and to Duke. I'm glad I have the care of the people who were Catholic and also non-Catholics who wanted to do their best. I'm glad, and very glad, have these wonderful communities and people and brother priests who were praying constantly for me. And one of the things that I say with Father Peter is that the legionaries were always in this situation right there as the first ones to appear. And in even though I don't remember seeing them or listening to their words, because I was, yes, of course, in coma, they told me, and I knew they were there, anointing me and praying for me until they will stop and finish just to go. But they were there. So I'm very grateful with my brother priest as well. It is important that we, see, as we live our lives and ask the Lord always for more years, because we want to be in this world for more years with happiness, it is important that, yes, as we begin this season, you take your chance and opportunity to truly, truly make it a spiritual in the way in which you purify what you believe about hope, what you believe and express your joy. Mm-hmm. It is wonderful to see that when you bring all your little kids, you see, they're all excited about this season. And I know sometimes it's hard for parents to explain and make the difference between Advent and Christmas, right? Because everything outside right now is in Christmas. In fact, I remember 3 years ago, Pope Francis threw an iPad light many different trees around Italy at the same time with an iPad. And everybody was so excited. They put it in the news, of course. And then the news guy said, well, Pope Francis has started the Christmas season, but it was Advent. And we quickly, in practicality, we have that tendency just to skip things. See? Oh, even though we don't want it, peer pressure, social pressure, cultural pressure may make us make that jump. See? And we are the ones who have to say to other people, no. We're going to enjoy our Advent. We will make it spiritual. We will learn once again and understand and be grateful that this is a time in which the Lord is going to show us His mercy. And that this new year, this new liturgical year, we will make it perhaps this time more spiritual, more communal, more family-like. And in doing so, yes, we will be ready to face not only many situations and difficulties of our lives, but to learn once again, like Isaiah in the first reading was praising, Lord, I have so much trust in you that if you come down and everything is melt because of your presence, I'll be happy because you will be present. That this holy Advent season will help us to see, you see, and expect for the Lord's coming with the same kind of hope and trust. That if you come, see? Oh Emmanuel, if you come, he will find a person who truly trusts completely in you. Place my life completely on you. And believe and learn and love and respect the time that every year you gave me to celebrate you, especially you, in my life and in the life of the family. As we eagerly await the coming of the Son of Man, let us turn in confidence to God the Father Almighty and ask His mercy upon us and upon the world.
That Christ may strengthen His holy church, and all the preachers of the word may announce the coming of the Prince of Peace to all the nations, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the Holy Father, that he may be ever protected and guided by the Holy Spirit as he continues to tend to the flock entrusted to him, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an end to all violent conflict in the world, that the government leaders work toward lasting peace and true justice, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the conversion of all who have left the practice of the faith, and that all the faithful may ready themselves and their families for the hour in which the Son of Man returns in majesty, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of those who have placed their intentions in our prayer boxes, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of Janelle de Guzman. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are sick or infirmed, and for their caregivers, that God in His mercy will draw close to them and raise them up, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those intentions that we have in our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the repose of the souls of all the faithful departed, that through our prayers and those of the Blessed Mother, they may join all the saints in heaven. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord.
And let perpetual life shine upon them.
May their souls and souls of all the faithful departed.
Heavenly Father, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, comes to us as a servant and our Redeemer through the Incarnation. May our hearts be prepared to rejoice in His birth at Christmas through Christ our Lord.
Amen.